Enterprise Management 360, your main source for tech news, analysis, podcasts, and videos for the enterprise.
Welcome, everyone, to the EM 360 podcast, where we have a weekly conversation with people who are impacting the enterprise tech landscape. My name is Wayne Eckerson, president of Eckerson Group and a 30-year veteran of the data and analytics industry. And today, I'm joined by Dan Lin, Senior Vice President of Product at Krux. With 22 years of experience in software, prior to Krux, Dan served as head of product at Precisely and Hitachi Vantara and has been an angel investor. So welcome to the show, Dan.
Hi, Wayne. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to be here with you. So the topic today is the agile approach to external data integration. It's a topic near and dear to my heart, having done some research recently on data marketplaces. And I think this external data integration is the biggest pain point in helping organizations monetize their data or even just share it with external partners. So, but before I babble on, let me ask you, what is external data integration for you at Krux, and how does it provide the enterprise with an advantage?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's funny, like Krux grew up out of the last, 6 years focusing on external data. And I think a lot of enterprises are still unaware of the external data as a separate set of challenges in data integration. Really for all kinds of analytics use cases, data science, machine learning, most organizations are focused on the data that their own enterprise generates or their own users generate. That's transactional data, customer 360, the kinds of things that typically you'd classify as internal data. And not to minimize the challenges of integrating and transforming and observing internal data, what makes external data difficult is it's originating outside of your organization. But that's what also makes it so valuable. It's data that provides additional context to the information your business is generating. And so that, in the world of finance, for example, that's market data, stock prices, risk holdings. It's environmental social governance data that you hear in the news occasionally. It's climate data. It's weather data. It's shipping information. It's external data sources that provide information to help your decision systems make better decisions with added context. And there's a lot of value, but it also has a lot of challenges.
Yeah. Are most of the organizations you work with consuming external data that is information they've purchased or information they're sharing with partners?
Yeah, for Krux, the companies that we work with, the vast majority are working with a blend of commercially sourced data sets where a vendor like well-known suppliers of data, think about companies like Bloomberg or FactSet or EDI or MSCI or folks like that. They put a lot of work into curating these reliable external data sets that are usually describing events in the world. And so you'll get a daily export of some sort from these systems, or sometimes it's weekly or sometimes it's intraday. And tends to be data that's of higher quality, more reliable because there's a commercial relationship involved there. But there's also a very long tail of license-free, effectively, or royalty-free external data produced by various governments, nonprofits that describe all sorts of other parts of the world. And really, when you blend those together, you can make some really cool investment decisions or risk management decisions or pricing decisions or what have you.
Yeah, it's interesting that you use the words curated with commercial data, because I've heard that at least a while ago, the data that people bought from external data providers was not the greatest quality, and the schema often would change, which would wreak havoc on any integration that they had set up to absorb and ingest that information. Has that changed? Has that gotten better?
Yeah, I mean, that's a perennial problem that our customers at Krux run into all the time. The quality tends to be better on average in the commercial vendors because they do have a commercial interest in making it higher versus kind of a royalty-free source where they might not have the investment to maintain that. But even if a supplier of data is investing in data quality and reliability and availability, often a lot of these data sets, some of the most valuable ones, they go back decades. And so you might have a daily, you know, chunk of data that describes some part of the world that goes back to the 90s, or even, and we have some suppliers that go back even earlier than that. And due to, you know, auditing rules and a lot of reasons that are kind of out of the scope of this podcast, what happens is the shape of that data will change over that amount of time. And it's often kind of an afterthought to go back and reissue historical data using today's schema. And so a lot of times when our customers go to onboard external data, especially if they're trying to do a longitudinal analysis or some sort of longer term backtesting type activity, they're going to have to do a lot of transformation to get all of the previous schemas transformed into kind of today's schema. And that means, you know, added columns, dropped columns, changes in data types, renamed columns, you know, it's sometimes even more complicated where they'll have extracted reference tables where it was previously denormalized before. And it just gets really complicated to get the value initially.
So I assume that's where Crux comes in. So you help sort out all those gnarly issues that can just give data managers headaches, right?
Yeah. You know, we have a slide that I usually use that was originally put together by a data scientist named Monica Rigotti, and she calls it the data science hierarchy of needs. And it's like, everybody wants to be doing AI and deep learning, right? You want to be at the tip of the pyramid. You want to be really experimenting and trying different models and seeing which algorithms work better. But until you can't really do all that if you're working with dirty data, or you're working with spotty data that has holes in it, or the schemas aren't even aligned. And so that's really where Crux comes in. We help data critical decision making organizations and companies optimize that flow of external data in order to make it analytics ready. So we really believe that all information should be data science and analytics ready, which is a pretty big, hairy, audacious goal. But, you know, we focus on a lot of those problems of getting the data reliably delivered on a daily basis, helping shape the data so it's actually consumable by, you know, whatever system you happen to do. And for us, that tends to be two primary use cases. We're either like dropping it into warehouse type environments, things like BigQuery, things like Snowflake, things like Databricks, right? Or we're, you know, focusing on more direct kind of data science use cases, something you could load into a Jupyter notebook, which also, you know, fits into the world of Spark and Databricks. But also there's a lot of companies that have some investment in the data infrastructure. And so they're really more interested in standardized file-based delivery across, you know, hundreds or thousands of different external data sets, and just making sure all those files have the same format. You know, they're usually in Parquet format, so the schemas in those Parquet files are aligned. The timestamps within those files are also aligned, and getting a lot of the kind of nuts and bolts of data readiness out of the way. And, you know, we found a lot of success, and we're growing quite a bit based on solving those problems for customers. I mean, the challenges of external data are more than just that, but those are the really big pain points.
So you're like ETL for external data, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's pretty close. I mean, we're sometimes like an ETL type of flavor, and so other times we're an ELT kind of flavor, right? Get semantic. It depends upon your architecture.
How did you guys get into this line of business? I mean, it's kind of a specialty, I would say. I don't think I've come across any other vendor that's focused on ETL, ELT integration for external data.
Yeah, it's funny. It's, you know, so I joined the company in late 2021, so I can kind of give you the late joiner origin story, superhero origin story of the company, but I think it's pretty accurate. I mean, the company, you know, got started about 6 years ago, largely growing out of a problem that was common to some of the, you know, most hungry external data providers, largely grown out of Wall Street and financial services. And that led to the founding of Crux, trying to solve this problem where they realized everybody's just dumping tons and tons of money into reinventing the data engineering wheel for external data. And across a lot of different, Wall Street players, you found that everybody was continuing to reinvent the same sets of pipeline management, the same sets of data observability, the same set of transformation kind of processes, and it ended up getting quite expensive. And so a bunch of folks got together and realized that, you know, it would be better if there was a commercial player. And that really led to the founding of Crux, right? And so, you know, some of our kind of notable public investors are, you know, folks like Goldman Sachs and Two Sigma, right? Morgan Stanley, right? And, you know, we can count a good chunk of all those as customers as well.
So the first problem with external data for a big company like a Wall Street company. It's just understanding who actually in the company is buying that data. Because a lot of companies, and maybe this has changed, but initially it was just different people or different departments who were buying sometimes the same data from the same providers. So I would think that the first step that you have to work with clients on is just coordinating the purchase and maybe even establishing a purchasing authority for external data. Is that a part of your script?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it is a common problem across, you know, any large organization that's purchasing external data, or really procuring anything, is trying to get your hands wrapped around kind of centralizing that procurement process so you don't buy the same thing twice, et cetera. And that applies to data as well. For Crux, you know, that's our focus is really more on the data delivery and the plumbing and ensuring that's reliable. Although, you know, we definitely run into that motion in our customers where folks are usually trying to organize around a central data team or central data management group that's consolidating that licensing, right? Trying to eliminate duplicative licensing and trying to, you know, only get the right number of seats or, you know, whatever the licensing term is in order to do that. And, you know, Crux actually ends up kind of helping on the side with that, because as we start to develop pipelines, right, or as we start to, you know, pull data in for delivery, it often triggers those license review kind of cycles that might not have otherwise happened at the customer. And they go and figure out, oh, we're buying more than we need of this. And that actually saves a lot of money, I think, in those cases.
Right. So you're kind of assuming that they've got their procurement act together, or if not, you'll help them at least point out what they need to do.
Yeah.
So I guess one question I have for you is, you know, these are big firms you're typically dealing with. Mostly financial services at this point, although that will change, I think. They've got big data engineering teams. They can certainly solve the external data integration problem. But I'm going to assume that they're busy enough and would like to outsource this problem to some specialist who understands the nuances of external data perhaps better than they do. Is that a fair statement?
I think that's a very fair statement. There's a lot of expertise, you know, especially across our customer base, and a ton of expertise, as you can imagine, on the data science side, right? On the, you know, the start counting PhDs effectively, and you have some really hard math being solved, some really hard problems being solved. And one of the impediments is really just getting, you know, clean, ready to use data in order to feed it into those problem solving areas. And while a lot of those companies, you know, can do that, they end up finding that the costs of bringing in that external data become, you know, in some cases prohibitive to bringing on more of it, because depending upon where you're procuring it, the reliability of the data is also a big factor. And once you set up a pipeline, you know, you got to maintain that thing. You got to observe it. You have to, if it becomes a critical part of your decision-making infrastructure, like if you're trading on that data, for example, timeliness of the data is critical. Noticing when a upstream SLA is breached, or noticing when the data is late or missing or corrupted, right? All the things that can break those pipelines as they're flowing become pretty critical. And a lot of teams end up, you know, it starts off small and you can manage it, but once you get into the hundreds or thousands of pipelines, you need to really be systematic about how to manage that and maintain those pipelines. And that slows the pace. Folks spend more and more of their time kind of keeping the lights on, so to speak, and less time bringing on new information, new data sets. We actually did a study last year with a fairly large sample of customers. We worked with Forrester on it, and you know, across the survey base, you know, people were spending still 70% of their time, you know, on just the plumbing of the data, maintaining that data, and only 30% on the actual data analysis. And it's funny Wayne, for you and I that have been in this industry a little bit, right? That's progress.
Yeah, it is, actually.
I remember it was 80-20. And so I think we're doing great. It's only 70-30 now, but it is challenging once you get into the volume and at scale with these external data products.
Do you see yourselves as an extension of a company's internal data engineering team? I mean, you know, I'm trying to figure out, where do you stop and the client starts? Or are you doing the end-to-end pipeline? But that means, and if you are, that means that they have to kind of divulge a lot of information to you about how they're doing things, and for you to dump data right into a specific database with in a specific format, the specific schema. Maybe that's it. You know.
Well, yeah, it's a great question. It actually varies across our customer base. Crux actually has two offerings in the market, right? We have, you know, our white glove data engineering, data operations service, which is called Crux Forge, which is where really is that kind of extension, the outsourced kind of data engineering, right? And, you know, we work really closely with our customers to fit the plug to the socket, so to speak, in the right way. And that really is, you know, figuring out, well, what data destination are you wanting to put this in? We've got customers using cloud data warehouses. We've got customers using Spark. We've got customers that would rather just go into a data lake. And, you know, there's a well-formatted data showing up in something like S3 or something where somebody's building a data lake. We really kind of tune that based off the customer's desired handoff point. And often there's additional pipelines that pick up from there and a lot of, you know, higher value, so to speak, data engineering that happens on top of that kind of, you know, analytics ready data.
And are you doing that secondary pipeline once it gets in there or just delivering it to a spot?
We focus really on that just delivery and getting that analytics ready data, you know, available for that downstream, you know, blending or downstream analysis, whatever that is, if it's BI, if it's data science. And that tends to be a good fit with the way our customers structure their organizations because they can look at kind of that ingestion and that plumbing part of that. And that's it's a really nice data interface to say, okay, we're going to pick it up from here.
Now, I know a lot of emerging data marketplace platforms do the same thing. They can deliver data in a specific format to a target database or file system. Do you see those as competitors or partners?
I would definitely see it as partners, right? It's actually a really cool motion that we see. We actually have, you know, public partnerships with like Google Analytics Hub, for example, right? And with like Databricks coming for these available marketplaces where you can go look for data. And one of the challenges with any marketplace, and we find it's interesting, a lot of our customers are also creating private marketplaces for their own internal consumption.
Yeah.
And so that pattern happens a lot as well. The marketplace is really only as valuable as the data inside of it. And so there's a lot of hydrating that has to happen in order to get as many external data products available inside of those marketplaces as you can to get critical mass. And that's a really good partnership opportunity for Crux because that long tail of these external data products that have been around forever and they are coming from, you know, hundreds or thousands of different sources is a really messy job to get those shaped into a marketplace, be it public or private. And I think that provides a really good opportunity, at least for Crux, you know, to help with that. If you're making one internally, or if you're you know, going to something like Google Analytics Hub, a lot of like the commercial data sets are in there, are hydrated actually by Crux.
So that's interesting. You make the marketplaces possible in many ways because you bring them the external data that they need to turn into products that then they distribute via their mechanisms to their customers. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, good parts of it. I mean, I think the marketplaces have a great vision of enabling exchange from, you know, any party to any other party of data. And so there's a lot of shaping that has to happen there. I think a lot of businesses aren't really ready to like fully productize their data and you know, try to monetize it correctly. And that's a pretty big challenge that requires investment. But I think the marketplaces are going to solve a key part of that over time. But in order to really get the adoption, the marketplaces end up being that kind of two-sided network a little bit. To get that adoption in the critical mass, you got to start with something. And that's really where external data comes in because it's exceptionally valuable. And if you can just go in there and drop something right into your BigQuery or drop something right into a Databricks notebook that you're using,
that
adds a lot of value.
Yeah. When I researched data marketplaces, I learned that several of them were using Crux to ingest data into their own marketplace so they could productize it.
It's really like an accelerator. It really helps if anything that looks like a marketplace, that's if you have like a private catalog, you're trying to create a list of curated internal or like curated external data products for internal consumption. You know, and you're really wanting to accelerate getting those listings hydrated, populated, right? That's where Crux can help a lot.
So what is your secret sauce? We've talked a little bit about some of your products and some of the capabilities that you support, but is there really a secret sauce that companies just can't do without you?
Yeah.
For
yeah, that's a great question. I think where Crux is best at is, you know, one is we are really good at operating external data products at scale. And so that means once these things are in production and you're delivering them, you know, we've got a 24/7 operations team paired with a lot of really cool observability technology to understand the health of these products, understand when things are late or corrupted, and in many cases do auto remediation so that things are fixed before the downstream consumer even knows it broke, which I think is a pretty cool area for the company. And then the other side of kind of where we're great is our ability to onboard data quickly, new data quickly. Crux actually has, you know, a catalog of thousands of like these pre-engineered integrations where we already know the shape of the data. We already know the, you know, where it's coming from, how frequent it is, you know, what's the earliest I could get the data, how late does it tend to be? A lot of really cool statistical information that we know about, you know, a huge portion of the external data market. And, you know, we've codified that into our software so that if we've seen data before, it's exceptionally quick to onboard that and make it available for downstream customers or for marketplaces. And then, you know, we've launched a self-service offering that uses a lot of that technology to do that for arbitrary data sources. So it helps profile external data sources, even if we haven't seen it before, and help infer those delivery schedules, those file formats, the schemas, and help shortcut a lot of what otherwise is a really painful manual data engineering kind of lifecycle.
Right. That's very interesting. Those predefined connectors probably save you and the clients tons of time because a lot of external data, I mean, there's some, I don't know, a dozen or more products that everyone uses, right? So you probably have those nailed, right?
Yeah. It's funny because it's like everybody know every data integration software out there, you know, can go call an API or you know read from an S3 bucket, right? But understanding the model, the data product model of what is this thing, how frequently does it change, you know, what schemas are in here, and kind of treating that holistically as a unit of consumption that would be in a catalog. That's really where, you know, the difference, you know, I liken it to the world of, you know, like, let's say like legacy infrastructure operations where you're using like Puppet, right, to do imperative configuration versus the world of Kubernetes where you're doing declarative configuration.
Yeah.
Having that declarative model for how the data should behave and how it should work is exceptionally powerful. And that's far harder to do than just pointing at an imperative pipeline at some FTP server and kind of hoping for the best.
Yeah. Right. And the automatic remediation when something breaks, so you fix it before the client even knows, that's superb. So it sounds like any company that's touching external data in any way, shape, or form ought to look into you guys because you are the specialist. I'm going to have to posit that there's no one else out there doing what you do. You have no competition. Is that true?
You know, there's a lot of like adjacent, I think, competitors out there, but I think the one we run into the most, honestly, is like a customer's kind of internal team that perceives us as competition initially because, you know, it's like, oh, well, Crux is going to come in and, you know, automate away my jobs or something like that. But we find that's not usually the case. You know, it's we go in and those data teams are usually inundated with, you know, effectively toil. If you were to, you know, quote the SRE book from Google, right? It's the day-to-day drudgery of dealing with kind of like pipeline breaks and onboarding new data. And, you know, being able to like up-level those customer data engineering teams to higher value work, is an initial perception of competition, I think. But, you know, once we get a little further into it, people get pretty happy.
I suspect some of your clients have actually asked you to come in and take over some of their internal data pipelines as well.
It has been a conversation. I think in terms of focus, you know, we're focused at what we're really good at. And one of the things is it is kind of repeatable for us. And, you know, maybe over time in the future, we'll look at more of the internal stuff, but I think it's really beneficial for the customer for us to, you know, focus on what we're really good at. And, you know, it's a really broad net of every customer's internal pipelines are going to be a little different and they're going to be specialized to that business process. And the customer really is the expert at how to set those up.
Well, good. So you're staying focused, staying disciplined. That's good to hear. So listen, Dan, thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate your coming on the show. And I want to thank everyone for listening. We hope you all took a lot away from this podcast today. And for further information on what we've talked about, please head over to cruxdata.com. And we'll be back next week with another episode in our podcast series. Until then, make sure you subscribe to this podcast on all major platforms. Follow the conversation on our social media site, EM360Tech, on Twitter and LinkedIn. And for more great daily content, head over to em360tech.com.